Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, July 29th, 2022. Section A, Things to Know About Gas Prices, by Stuart Doreen. AAA Texas came out with its most recent gas price report for the state, and the news is good and bad for Midland drivers. The average price in Midland dropped 13 cents this week. That continued the trend seen in the city for weeks. In fact, AAA reports prices are down 46 cents over the last 4 weeks. What drivers in Midland might be disappointed with is the drop in Midland trailed what is being seen across the region and the state. Here are some things to know about the price in Midland and where it stands elsewhere. The average price in Midland was listed at $3.92 on Thursday. That was 8 cents behind the average in Odessa. The average in Odessa fell 17 cents this week. The state average also dropped 17 cents, 14 cents below the average in Midland. The state average has dropped by 71 cents during the last 4 weeks. Midland's average was the second highest in the state. Other averages across the region are $3.58 in Abilene, $3.75 in Lubbock, and $3.79 in El Paso. The price compared to the same time in 2021 has increased 90 cents in Midland. The state average is at 95 cents. Midland's average was 36 cents less than the national average. The oil and gas markets continue to weigh the potential of an economic slowdown against strong demand for fuel products and supply volatility with the ongoing war in Ukraine. Crude oil prices remain sensitive to headlines, and July is still a leading month for travel. It is unclear how long downward pressure will remain on the price at the pump with all of these market forces at play. AAA spokesperson Joshua Zuber said, "With crude oil prices steadily below $100 a barrel in recent days, coupled with what appears to be a healthy supply of regional gasoline product, could be leading factors as to why prices are falling at the pump." Escamilla returns to local TV on KWES by Stuart Green. Krista Escamilla is returning to the TV news desk. She recently reported on her Facebook she will join television station KWES for its 4 p.m. and 5 p.m. broadcasts as its news anchor in mid-August. She told the MRT this week, "The time is right for a return." She is a broadcast veteran in Midland, Odessa. 23 years ago, she arrived in the region working for KMID in its morning show and then as the 4 p.m. anchor. After a break, she worked with KOSA in its morning slot. Along the way, she has become a staple of the local media scene and a go-to for nonprofits and other organizations looking for the right person to MC an event. She said she's always been involved in entertainment, going back to the days when she worked as a dance teacher for her mother's studio. In college, she got bit by the broadcast bug after interning for a local TV station. After she switched her major at Sacramento State, her career path was set. She is a broadcast professional, but she is a mother and family first. Each break in her broadcast career came as she wanted to spend more time with her family. She and her husband, Al, have 2 daughters and 2 sons. When she returned to COSA, she worked mornings, so she still had the opportunities to attend school events, after school sports, and be at home during the evenings. She also woke up at 3 a.m., something she admittedly didn't miss during the more recent 6.5 years away. Escamilla did find media opportunities during this more recent time away from TV by podcasting, including an oil and gas podcast called The Permian Basin Perspective and The Krista Escamilla Show, which will continue even as she takes on her latest TV responsibilities. She said past broadcasting opportunities have allowed her to provide more positive and in-depth news and information for her audience, whether on TV or online. She said showing the good news is important to her and that viewers can expect plenty of optimistic, positive stories from Midland, Odessa, and around the region, especially during the 4 p.m. broadcast, which she will also produce. I like looking at the positive side of everything, she said. I truly believe we can do both positive stories and hard news. I hope West Texans feel like they are seeing stories that are important to them. With Escamilla, there is the professionalism of a veteran with more than 2 decades in the business, but also a person who greets her audience, whether on TV or online, with a smile and a positive attitude about life. It's part of her parenting, her friendships, and her professional life. It includes celebrating life with positive quotes on social media and a kind word on her podcasts. She told the Reporter Telegram her first day at Key West will be August 22nd after taking Ollie to college and emceeing the 47th annual Crystal Balls High Sky Children's Homes Benefit. It will be that the fourth Monday in August when her third stint with a third different station begins, a third opportunity to highlight what is happening in the community, and a third chance to provide the information help West Texans live their best lives, she said. The reality is helping people live their best lives, which is what she's been doing for more than 2 decades. Midland Lacrosse Club enjoys growth, by Ben Schaefer. Midland's West Texas Lacrosse Club is gearing up for their fall clinics and adding a girls team in hopes to continue to grow the sport in West Texas and beyond. Autumn is approaching and West Texas Lacrosse is capitalizing with programs for experienced players or beginners looking to break in, according to President Steve Giselle. Fall activities are starting, possibly the end of September, definitely in October. We have fall clinics. You can go to our website, westtexaslacrosse.org, where you can stay updated. We're planning to have around 4 fall clinics for all age groups from first grade on up to high school. Boys and girls are welcome. New for the spring is a West Texas Girls Lacrosse program. The program has always been out there. West Texas Lacrosse started back in 2014. We did have girls come out and just play with the guys. We've had these ladies that come to us and say, we'd love to grow the game for the girls out here. It's at the infancy stage, but I think it's great. He says he sees many reasons why young people should play the fastest game on 2 feet. He said lacrosse is one of the fastest growing sports in the U.S. right now, especially moving into the Southwest and in Texas and New Mexico. He added the games provide cross training for other sports too, like football or track. You've got conditioning, hand and eye coordination, foot coordination. Lacrosse's growth in Midland has been fueled by local support and out-of-towners who have moved to West Texas from areas of the country where the sport is prevalent. He said conversations have taken place with the Bush Tennis Center, which is expanding its athletic facilities to accommodate the additional sports. They reached out to us individually and want us on board. West Texas United Midland, the high school club team, joined the competitive Texas High School Lacrosse League. The conference's West Division includes 2 teams, Coronado High School in El Paso and West Texas United Midland. The Central and East Division, however, include longtime powerhouses like South Lake Carroll, Austin Westlake, Highland Park, the Woodlands, and all the major schools who have major programs. They've been around longer than us and are well established, but they've been very helpful about what we can do to help you grow. Texas' historically impressive athletic culture boosts his optimism about increasing lacrosse's popularity over time. It's a work ethic, Giselle said. Coaches and players in all sports across the state of Texas have a whatever-it-takes mentality to become better in whichever sport they play, and that carries over to lacrosse. While lacrosse season is in the spring, there are ways to get involved with it, starting in the fall, for boys and girls of all ages. Their website includes helpful information for prospective players, such as the rules of the sport, equipment rental, coaching staff listings, and ways to become a lacrosse player online member to receive important updates regarding the program. Midland Park Mall to host its Back to School Bash on Saturday, by Mercedes Cordero. Midland Park Mall will be hosting its back-to-school bash on Saturday. The event is a way of celebrating the start of the new school year. The back-to-school bash will be in front of JCPenney from 1 to 4 p.m. The first 100 shoppers will receive a bag full of school supplies. School supply donations will also be accepted and given to the 3 to 11 ministries, which will distribute them to school-aged children, according to the release. The event will also kick off the Do Good with Denim Drive. People will be able to donate gently worn denim clothing. All donations are given to the 3 to 11 ministries to support their efforts with students in need of school clothes. The drive will start Saturday and run through the month of August. Donations can be dropped off at Aeropostale, Old Navy, JCPenney, and the mall office. Games, arts, crafts, face painting, and food also will be available. Midland Humane Coalition to host 11th Fur Ball in October. Dedicated to saving as many healthy and adoptive pets from euthanasia as possible, the Midland Humane Coalition will celebrate its annual Fur Ball on October 22nd at the Petroleum Club. This year's theme takes inspiration from the vibrant and rich Hispanic culture, Furriesta Gala, founded by Susie Hitchcock Hall, Luann Morgan, and Paul O'Neill. The nonprofit started in 2010 and has been changing lives ever since. Furball stands as one of MHC's biggest and most crucial fundraisers, as the fiesta-themed party will be going full out. Guests can expect Mexican cuisine and beverages via an open bar, music from mariachi band Nueva Generacion, a ballet folklorico performance by Nuestra Herencia, music from West Texas Funk, a silent auction, and various entertainment, such as games and photo booth, customized sculptures, and, of course, tequila shots. The open table tickets, $150, VIP tickets, and event sponsorship tickets can be purchased at midlandhumane.org/furball. The event is open to anyone and encourages festive attire. Tumbleweed Triathlon to benefit Healthcare Foundation. Back for its 21st year, the Tumbleweed Triathlon, benefiting Midland Center Health Foundation, will take place Sunday at the University of Texas Permian Basin Pool, 4901 East University Boulevard in Odessa. The whistle blows at 7:30 a.m. and all contestants must attend the informational meeting 30 minutes beforehand. A USA Triathlon-sanctioned event, participants will compete in a three-part race consisting of a flat 20K bike on wide-shouldered roads, an out-and-back run on the UTPB campus, and a 400-yard swim in a 50-meter pool. Chip timing, when a runner wears an electronic device registered with their race number that alerts strategically placed chip readers once the runner has crossed them, will be used. Athletes can register until 5 p.m. Saturday and pick up their race day packets from midnight to 6 p.m. at the MCH Mission Fitness Center, 8050 East Highway 191. Bring an ID and USAT member card, if applicable. Non-members will have to pay an additional USAT $50 registration fee on top of the $45 race fee. Entry is capped at 112 people. Doubletree to host Eclectic Music Night. Looking for a summer weekend nightclub atmosphere but don't want to leave town? The Doubletree by Hilton on Wall Street, located downtown Midland, will host a 5-hour house party in their third floor Skyview Bar from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. Saturday. Hosted by Artworks Midland, a collection of Tall City artists trying to make the Permian Basin a prettier place, the 21 and up event will include a full bar and $10 cover charge. However, the list of entertainment takes the cake. Festivities include live DJs such as Faceless, Dance with Madrid, local party king James Boogie, and 103 Kiss FM's weekend host Alex Shock. Live body art painting at Elevated Divas PDS owner Jazlon LeSean, courtesy of the talented hand of local artist Laura Bellin Garcia. a 360-degree photo booth which spins around a platform, taking 120 frames per second, ultimately making a unique, interactive, and exciting slow-motion film for all involved. Jerome McNair, Jerry Fulhamwider, passed away on July 21st. A memorial service will be held on Friday, July 29th at 2 p.m. at Highland Park Presbyterian Church in Dallas. Margaret Marjo Rydell passed away on Tuesday, July 26th. Graveside service will be held at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, August 2nd at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are under the direction of Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home in Odessa. Michael D'Angelo Johnson passed away on July 25th. Visitation will be held Saturday, July 30th from 5 to 8 p.m. with a memorial service at 7 p.m. at Evelo Sanchez Funeral Home. Roy Dale Morris Sr. passed away on July 25th. A funeral to celebrate his life will be held on July 30th at 4 p.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home. Thomas Dragosic passed away on July 27th. Celebration of life will be held at 10:30 a.m. at St. Stephen's Catholic Church on Thursday, August 4th. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickerman Welch Funeral Home.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, July 29th, 2022. Jaguars, Odessa file restraining orders. Club accuses OPD of terrorizing employees, patrons. On the same day, an Ector County judge filed a temporary restraining order against Jaguars. The corporate owners of the Adult Entertainment Club sought a TRO against the City of Odessa and the Odessa Police Department in U.S. federal court. On Wednesday, U.S. District Court Judge David Counts signed off on a temporary 14-day TRO negotiated between the two parties. The TRO stipulates the following certain conditions must be met. The City of Odessa must process Jaguars' application to operate as a sexually oriented business. Jaguars can operate as a, quote, bikini bar, end quote, and will not feature any nudity. Jaguars will fire anyone who violates the sexually oriented business ordinance three or more times. Jaguars must promptly report any, quote, breaches of the peace, unlawful firearm possession, assault, or any other crime involving violence on the premises, end quote. Jaguars must ban people engaging in such unlawful conduct from the premises for 1 year. Jaguars must implement additional alcohol training for staff and hire a staff member specifically to monitor the level of alcohol being consumed by patrons. Jaguars must provide patrons found to be intoxicated on the premises with a safe means of transportation, including the cost of a taxi or other ride share. Jaguars local management must have monthly meetings with OPD, and they must disclose all internal reports made that may have been unreported to law enforcement. The intent is to, quote, identify areas of improvement or gaps in the party's response to providing a safe place of business, end quote. Jaguars must send an IT specialist to assist the City of Odessa with accessing information contained on servers and DVRs that were previously seized. The city must return those items to Jaguars within 24 hours of accessing the information. The City of Odessa shall tell Ector County District Attorney Dusty Gallivan about the TRO. OPD will still be allowed to conduct its ordinary law enforcement activities in and around Jaguars. In 2 weeks, the parties can ask for the TRO to be turned into a preliminary injunction. On July 10th, OPD officers arrested 18 people on a misdemeanor charge after receiving tips that Jaguars was operating as a sexually oriented business, despite allowing its SOB permit to lapse back in April. According to an Odessa Police Department news release, attorneys for the business, which is located on Cargo Road, had informed city officials they were no longer a sexually oriented business and were instead operating as a, quote, bikini bar, end quote. On July 21st, Ector County Court at Law Number 2, Judge Christopher Clark issued a TRO at the request of Gallivan. The judge gave Jaguars owners or staff 14 days to modify their behavior to prevent criminal activity from occurring. According to Gallivan's petition for the TRO, quote, defendants knowingly tolerate and have failed to make reasonable efforts to abate the criminal activities at Jaguars, and instead have enjoyed a steady stream of income from overly intoxicated patrons who conduct these illegal activities on the premises, end quote. During the 3-year period from July 14, 2019 to July 14, 2022, Galavan alleged OPD has been summoned to Jaguars on Cargo Road 150 times and made more than 100 arrests. Officers have responded to fights in progress, shots fired, aggravated assaults, alcohol-related crashes, and drug-related calls. He further alleged acts of prostitution have taken place at Jaguars and intoxicated people have participated in, quote, deviant behavior, end quote, there. On that same day, Jaguars attorneys went to federal court and asked the court for a temporary restraining order, alleging the city and OPD has violated the club's First Amendment right, Fourth Amendment right against unreasonable searches and seizures, Fifth Amendment, quote, right to remain silent, end quote, and 14th Amendment right guaranteeing, quote, equal protection, end quote, under the law. According to the club's pleadings, erotic dancing falls under the First Amendment and its employees aren't nude when they dance. They wear boy shorts and bikini tops. They allege the city and OPD had, quote, expanded the definition of nude beyond the statutory text, end quote. In addition, the club's attorneys alleged OPD targeted the club and ignored other clubs where, quote, publicly available information depicts employees of these other businesses attired in a way far closer to the ordinance's definition of nudity, end quote. In their court documents, Jaguar's attorney accused the city and OPD of, quote, terrorizing, end quote, the club's employees and patrons during an unlawful search and seizure of their persons and the property July 10th. They further alleged OPD obtained its warrant, quote, on the demonstrably false assertion, end quote, the club was operating as a sexually oriented business. The city violated the club's 14th Amendment right by seizing its property, the lawyers alleged. Quote, second, Jaguars Odessa is sustaining the ongoing loss of business as it cannot reopen in light of defendants' threats and action, end quote, court documents stated. Attorneys for both the city and Jaguars met last Friday. The proposed TRO was submitted Wednesday, and Counts signed it late Wednesday afternoon. Galavan said he has been made aware of the federal temporary restraining order. Quote, I think everything is moving in the right direction, and I anticipate that agreement will take care of our TRO, end quote, Galavan said. By that, Galavan said he thinks the restraining order in state court will be allowed to expire next week. While so-called, quote, nuisance, end quote, lawsuits have been filed locally in the past, they've involved bars rather than strip clubs, Galavan said. Such lawsuits have been, quote, absolutely, end quote, successful in resolving issues, Galavan said. Three suspected in starvation death of Odessan. Three people suspected of letting a 53-year-old woman with Down syndrome starve to death in January are now in custody facing charges. Odessa Police Department reports show officers responded to the 6500 block of Amber Drive on January 29th about a deceased person. When officers arrived, they found an, quote, extremely underweight, end quote, Brenda Rains, deceased, covered in severe bed sores and on a crib mattress that was on a floor covered in dog feces and urine, the report stated. At the time of her death, Rains was living with three family members, Justin Rains, 30, Elvira Lara, 28, and Christine Rains Valalta Claros, 48. According to the report, the three told officers Rains was unable to walk, speak, feed herself, bathe herself, or use the bathroom. According to the report, Claros told investigators she was the sole caretaker of Rains, but if she left the home for a short time, she'd have Lara take care of her. She also said she'd never leave Rains overnight. However, investigators indicated in the report that video surveillance showed Claros left the home at 7:38 p.m. January 28th and didn't return until 3:07 p.m. January 29th. Lara and Justin Rains told investigators they did not check on Rains at all during that time frame. An autopsy revealed Rains starved to death, and a medical examiner ruled her death a homicide, according to the report. When interviewed again, Justin Rains and Lara told investigators Claros would leave Rains in the bedroom with the door closed frequently and would not come back for up to 3 days at a time, the report stated. The couple said they would sometimes feed Rains, but sometimes she'd go 2 days at a time without being fed. The couple also indicated they would not change Rains' diaper or bathe her while Claros was gone, the report stated. Quote, they indicated the only bathing Brenda received was an occasional sponge bath from Christine, end quote, the investigators wrote in their report. Quote, it was also advised Brenda was unable to leave her bed and no one would ever remove her from it for any reason. Brenda spent approximately 3 months in the filthy room on the mattress with four dogs before she ultimately died, end quote. The trio were arrested on suspicion of knowingly causing serious bodily injury to a disabled person, a first-degree felony. Ector County District Attorney Dusty Gallivan said his office has received the case from OPD and is in the process of reviewing the charges. Raines and Lara were booked into the Ector County Jail. Justin Raines was released Wednesday after posting a $125,000 surety bond. Lara remained in jail as of Thursday afternoon on a $100,000 surety bond. Ector County Sheriff's Office Sergeant Danielle Lindley said Claros was arrested by the Houston Police Department and currently remains in custody in that county. Convocation, new teacher welcome on district agenda. Ector County ISD's convocation to welcome everyone back from summer and pump them up for the upcoming school year is scheduled for 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesday at Ratliff Stadium. It's a little different than previous years when the event was held in the morning at the Ector County Coliseum. During his media call Wednesday, Superintendent Scott Murray said they will be celebrating ECISD's success from last year and preparing for 2022-23. Quote, there's a lot of good news and a lot of good work happening, end quote, Murray said. Quote, we want to make sure that all 4,200 employees are well aware of what's going on in our organization. Sometimes we work in a department, a division, or a school, and we're isolated from what's happening in the larger organization. So we want to make sure that everybody is well aware of the progress we're making, at the same time getting them ready for the upcoming school year. We'll deliver some messages that will kind of prepare them for the opportunities that lie ahead, end quote. As for the start of school, Murray said the first group of students return August 9th, and the next group will come back August 11th. Quote, we learned during the pandemic that a phased-in start of school is really beneficial to our students. We will once again be doing that this year, end quote, Murray said. He added that parents should check the ECISD website for their child's specific start date. School supply lists are also are on the website and at ECISD campuses. Murray also encouraged parents to register their children for the upcoming school year. He said you can visit the district website or any campus in the district to sign up in person. The new teacher welcome event, organized by the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, will be from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. August 1st on the second floor of the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. Previous welcomes for Ector County ISD teachers have been breakfasts and tailgates. Murray said more than 250 teachers have been hired over the summer. He noted that there are retirements, resignations, promotions, and transfers every year that create open spots. At the end of last year, there were 50 unfilled vacancies. Summer graduation was Thursday at the Odessa High School Performing Arts Center. Quote, we call it a rainbow graduation because all five of our high schools will have students represented tomorrow night at this graduation, end quote, Murray said Wednesday. He added it is a, quote, wonderful opportunity to celebrate the final edition, if you will, of the class of 2022, end quote. Every year, Murray said, ECISD provides students with a chance to make up any courses they might be lacking and an opportunity to graduate during the summer. On the testing front, Murray said the state is undergoing a redesign of the STAR and of course, exams. Next year, students will be taking a, quote, refined version of the STAR exam and the end-of-course exam, end quote. Quote, I think a lot of stakes have been placed on exams such as the STAR and end-of-course exam. We as educators want to know how our students are doing, but having high-stakes exams can sometimes be detrimental to our kids. Many kids experience test anxiety and other complications that go along with those high-stake tests. So anything our state can do to remove the stakes of those assessments, I think, is certainly beneficial for our kids, end quote, Murray said. Quote, but from an education perspective, we still need to make sure that we are assessing children to know what they're learning and at what pace and rate of speed they're learning those items. So clearly, some work can be done to improve our testing and accountability system, end quote, he added. Murray was asked about ECISD graduates having to take remedial courses when they reach University of Texas Permian Basin because of reading and writing issues. Murray said there has been added focus on those areas in recent years. Quote, the last 3 years, I'll point to a lot of work on behalf of our teachers and administrators and our curriculum team to improve the reading, writing, and science and social studies experiences of our kids. Our STAR data and, of course, data indicate that a lot of work has been done. Our SAT scores, they're the highest ever. we improved by 40 points in just 1 year. The SAT measures both mathematics and writing and reading on the part of our students, so we're making changes because when a child graduates from high school, they should be well-equipped to be successful in a post-secondary world. We don't want our kids to be set up for failure in any way, regardless of what their choice may happen to be. We continue to improve as an organization to make sure our kids are set up for success, whether it be UTPB, Odessa College, or any institution of higher learning that they choose to attend, end quote, Murray said. UTPB welcoming first cohort of master's and athletic training students. The University of Texas Permian Basin is now offering a Master's of Science in Athletic Training, MSAT. This master's program will prepare students to take their Board of Certification exam to become certified athletic trainers. The UT Permian Basin Master of Science in Athletic Training is one of 15 programs in Texas and one of only two programs located in West Texas. Quote, we developed the Master of Science in Athletic Training program to take an innovative approach to athletic training education and to prepare students to be responsive to the unique needs of their community, region, and profession, end quote. Elena Dennison, academic chair of the Department of Human Performance and Athletics, said in a news release, quote, as the profession grows and evolves, we are excited by the opportunity to contribute to the future of athletic training and support future professionals in their endeavors. We look forward and support future professionals in their endeavors. We look forward to welcoming both regional and international students in the first cohort, end quote. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor and Statistics, employment of athletic trainers is projected to grow 23% from 2020 to 2030, much faster than the average for all occupations. Athletic trainers work in a variety of different careers, including preventive services, professional athletics, emergency care, clinical diagnosis, high school and intercollegiate athletics, therapeutic intervention, and rehabilitation. The program is seeking Commission on Accreditation of Athletic Training Education, CAATE, accreditation, and expects a CAATE site visit in 2024, the release said. OC professors review Dobbs case. A review of U.S. Supreme Court cases, mainly focusing on the Dobbs decision that overturned Roe v. Wade, was the focus of Order in the Court, a panel discussion hosted at Odessa College Thursday. The event was held in the Zandt Community Room at the Salisbury Campus Center at OC and was also live-streamed. Panelists included Daniel Regalado, Professor of Government and History, Janice Hicks, Vice President for Institutional Effectiveness, Timothy Clark, Professor of Communications, Autumn Zimmerman, Professor of History, and retired Professor of Government and History Glenn Findley. Zimmerman summarized the history of the Supreme Court and reviewed the pertinent cases. Regalado said Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization ruled that abortion is not a constitutional right guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution, and instead the states should decide if it is legal. Quote, where it came from was that Mississippi had passed a state law that basically banned abortions after 15 weeks. This was questioned in regard to the constitutionality of it. It went up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court basically said, we're going to stay neutral, and we're going to let the states decide on this matter. End quote, Regalado said. Quote, now in regards to Texas, Texas law right now has banned abortion, but Texas does have an exemption if a woman's life's in danger, end quote, he added. Clark said, according to the latest data from Pew Research, 61% of Americans support Roe v. Wade, but that is constantly changing. He noted that there is tons of research going on right now and surveys going out. Quote, when we're talking about the number of U.S. adults who say abortion should be illegal versus legal, 61% as of 2022 started July were in favor of it being legal, while 37% were in the illegal in all cases or in most cases camp. When we talk specifically about the decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, this data comes directly from Pew Research, end quote, Clark said. When it comes down to those that were married or living with their partner, 59% think that it should be legal, and 67% of those that were not married or not living with a partner think that it should be legal in most cases, Clark said. Confidence in the Supreme Court as of 2022 is at an all-time low, with 25% having confidence in it. According to data for Texas from the Texas Department of Health and Human Services in 2021, there were 50,532 induced terminations of pregnancy. Quote, what's important to notice is the majority of these are occurring between the ages of 20 and 29. You can see on here one at 11 years or less. The majority of those that had an induced termination of pregnancy were unmarried, end quote, Clark said. The majority of those who terminated a pregnancy were Hispanic, which was not surprising to him because the majority of Texans are Hispanic, he said. Quote, I did find it interesting to include in here, based on what we're talking about, those that had a procedure done in a medical place, 50,532 survived the process. Zero did not survive. So nobody passed away from having this operation done in a medical facility, end quote, Clark said. The majority of the procedures for Texas residents happened at 8 weeks or less, Clark said. Quote, the biggest year-to-year decrease in abortions occurred in 2014. This is when a law went into place in Texas that required doctors performing an abortion to have admitting privileges at a hospital within 30 miles of the abortion facility. There was quite a bit of a drop from 2000 to 2014, end quote, Clark said. Hicks said, listening to the discussion, people were probably experiencing a lot of different emotions. She noted that the conversation was not partisan and they were not sharing their opinions. Quote, we've been in a pandemic for 2.5 years, so the pandemic has brought on this mental health crisis, end quote, Hicks said. People may be experiencing feelings of anxiety, isolation, or depression. Quote, the fact that this case and the overturning of this case comes during the pandemic, I think that just exacerbates the mental health crisis that we have already been in. I'm glad that mental health is a part of this conversation because we as people have to normalize what that means and really consider our psychological well-being, end quote, Hicks said. Quote, from a mental health perspective, I would encourage you, your students, wherever you are in the community, to really take stock. If people are reacting strongly to cases like this, that's okay. That's normal. If you're a student here, we have free therapy, free counseling. If you're a community member, we have a licensed social worker. You can come and you can learn about the resources that we offer, but do not isolate yourself. We've learned during this pandemic that isolation only leads to poor outcomes in regards to our mental health, end quote, Hicks added. She said people can turn off the news and social media for peace of mind. Clark, who teaches a course in media literacy, said people are bombarded with stories on social media. He tells students to look past the headlines and find out the source of the story. Quote, there are some great websites out there. AP Fact Check has an amazing Twitter, factcheck.org, even Snopes. The Washington Post has a great fact checker. Then on the political side, PolitiFact also has a really, really good fact checker, end quote, Clark said. Physician, some COVID habits good to carry over. With COVID restrictions eased, people are glad to be able to travel around, but Dr. Martin Ortega, regional chair and assistant professor in the family medicine department at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, said there are still some precautions that are good to take. Vaccines also are available to all age groups. Quote, I think there's a lot of people that are really excited to be able to travel, and certainly that excitement is warranted. I think all of us are really grateful for that opportunity. And there's mixed feelings, I guess, because there is that respect for that realization that we've gone through some times where that wasn't the most prudent thing because of the health situation nationally and globally, end quote, Ortega said. Quote, I think that for some people who have had really difficult experiences with COVID, either for themselves or with their families, are concerned about people in their family that haven't been vaccinated or have additional concerns, so it's mixed, but I think that we're really grateful that we have the opportunity to explore and to travel overall, end quote. Although shots are available and hospitalizations have waned, Ortega said COVID is not completely gone. Quote, we still have cases from time to time, and I think over this last month we've seen a little bit of an uptick compared to maybe April. Still, thankfully, again, it hasn't translated into a significant burden for individuals or communities for hospitalizations or big bulks of office visits. End quote. Quote, but I think that some things to have in mind as we go about traveling would be to carry over some of those lessons learned from the past 2+ years that have been really helpful. Things like hand hygiene and being thoughtful and considerate with our planning, whether that means choosing to self-isolate if we're not feeling well, and either testing at home or going and getting tested or wearing masks if we know that we're sick. Those things have been very, very helpful over the course of the 2+ years. I think if they've become part of our health habits, we should continue to incorporate them as we go forward, end quote, Ortega added. The pandemic has shifted to becoming endemic or more common. so people will probably still get sick, he said. Also, with restrictions lifted and people don't have to wear masks on flights or at certain events, getting sick is going to happen. Quote, the things that we can do to mitigate our risk would be to again practice good hand hygiene. I know that certainly I've become more aware of it. I know that washing my hands more frequently or having hand sanitizer available in my car as I'm going about doing things is something that I didn't used to do all the time, that this has brought to my attention, has become a new habit. I think that all of us as people probably developed that greater awareness. And like I said, are things that can help us as we continue to move forward, end quote, Ortega said. Quote, certainly availing ourselves of opportunities, seeing the vaccination as a tool to protect our health is something that is also very important and thankfully very, very available, end quote. Local news roundup. Academy manager says he was assaulted during robbery. Three Odessans were arrested Tuesday after a local store manager told police they beat him while robbing him. According to a complaint filed by an Odessa Police Department officer, Roxanne Cabler, 29, and Keith Wyatt, 41, struck the 55-year-old manager of Academy Sports and Outdoors with their closed fists while stealing about $5,000 worth of miscellaneous clothing from the store on Highway 191. Ivan Joe Miles, 32, was also listed as an, quote, arrestee, end quote, in the case in a separate document. The trio were arrested the same day of the alleged offense and booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of one count of robbery each. Miles was also booked on charges alleging he evaded arrest / detention and failed to identify himself on Tuesday. He is also being held on two evading arrest charges from 2019 and on a failing to appear warrant filed in a 2018 false identification case. He's being held on surety bonds totaling $55,000. Cabler is being held on a $25,000 surety bond, and Wyatt is being held on a $30,000 surety bond. Accused robber arrested, jailed. A 36-year-old Odessa man accused of robbing four women in January 2020 is back in jail, 6 months after he failed to show up for a court date. According to online court records, Ector County District Court Judge Justin Lowe issued a warrant for Frederick Calicut's arrest when he failed to appear for a pretrial hearing on January 19th. He also raised his bond from $100,000 to $400,000. Calicut was booked into the Ector County Jail by the Ector County Sheriff's Office on Wednesday on four counts of failure to appear in court in the robbery case. He was also booked on a Midland County warrant pertaining to a theft case where the bond has been set at $25,000. He remained in jail as of Thursday. Gray trial set for January 2023. A January 23rd, 2023 trial date has been set for defeated state representative candidate Casey Gray in two restraining order cases. Gray, who lost against state representative Brooks Landgraf in a highly contentious battle in March, is accused of violating restraining orders in Walworth County Circuit Court in Wisconsin. He's facing one count of violating / harassment restraining order in a case filed in April 2018, and he's facing two counts in a case filed 1 month later. The charges are misdemeanors. According to online court records, Gray, 40, appeared Wednesday in court for a pretrial hearing. During the hearing, a status conference was set for November 10th. A final pretrial hearing was scheduled for January 18th, 2023, and a 12-person trial was set for January 23rd, 2023. Online court records also reflect a new judge is taking over the case August 1st. According to court records, three of Gray's attorneys have withdrawn from the cases, the latest in June. No new attorneys are reflected in the court records. TTUHSC gets health grants for Permian Basin. The Health Resources and Services Administration, an agency for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services that provides resources to hospitals and health science centers to improve systems of care in rural communities, recently awarded grants to the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, School of Health Professions, and School of Medicine on the Permian Basin campus. The awards include a competitive HRSA Workforce Physician Assistant Grant that will provide $287,486 annually for 4 years, $1,437,430 total, NAHRSA Hispanic Center of Excellence grants that will provide $685,999 annually for 5 years. $3,429,995 total. The Workforce PA grant will be used to develop and implement TTUHSC's Physician Assistant Rural Education and Community Healthcare Program. According to Christina Robaham Leavitt, Midland Regional Dean for the School of Health Professions, the overall purpose of the PA REACH program is to develop physician assistant students to provide high-quality primary care in rural settings of West Texas. Specifically, the program will develop longitudinal rural immersion experiences for PA students with the opportunity to train in environments that encourage and prepare students for autonomous postgraduate practice in rural and underserved communities. Enhance and expand PA training in mental health, substance abuse disorder treatment, rural health and telehealth utilization, develop and implement faculty development through continuing medical education on rural practice and education for PAs, preceptors, and faculty throughout West Texas, and hire personnel and adopt a data management system for outcome monitoring, continuous improvement, dissemination of results, and reporting requirements. Quote, we are pleased to work with the rural hospitals and clinics and area health education centers in West Texas to offer the opportunity to better prepare our PA students to expand access to care in the rural West Texas, end quote. Robaham Leavitt said in a release, quote, with our recent expansion project, this funding will help us multiply the impact through providing innovative education experiences, end quote. School of Medicine Regional Dean Dr. Timothy Benton said the HCOE grant has two overarching goals. The first is to engage students from junior high to high school and through college in the Permian Basin and West Texas who are interested in medical careers. It also will support the students as they seek acceptance into medical school, especially the TTUHSC School of Medicine and its Family Medicine Accelerated Track. Quote, the creation of a Hispanic Center of Excellence at TTUHSC aims to recruit underrepresented minority students and train them as family medicine providers, end quote, Benton said in the release. Quote, the Permian Basin has the most severe physician shortages. We are excited to educate the next generation of healthcare providers catering to the rural residents of West Texas, end quote. Students accepted into the TTUHSC School of Medicine and FMAT under the grant would complete their final year on the Permian Basin campus and then join the Permian Basin campus residency program. Because an estimated 40 to 60% of residency graduates stay within a 50-mile radius of where they trained, this will help the Permian Basin grow its own family medicine practitioners. The second goal of the Hispanic Center of Excellence grant is to develop a repository of information regarding culturally appropriate physician training that will lead to culturally appropriate healthcare delivery throughout the Permian Basin region. Benton said this helps transform the region's healthcare system through innovation and collaboration and will include a strong research component. Quote, TTUHSC is grateful for the outpouring support of our community, end quote, Benton added. Quote, the HCOE could not have been possible without the collaborative efforts of our healthcare, education, and foundation partnerships. Together, we are changing rural healthcare, end quote. Crowder ready for last show before beginning college. Caitlin Crowder has been very active in theater, whether it's on the stage acting or working on set designs for plays. The Odessa High graduate will soon get to continue to work with set designs when she goes to college at the University of Texas at Austin this fall. Before she begins the next chapter of her life, Crowder will be a part of one more show, as she has been busy helping with the set, as well as acting in, with the SpongeBob SquarePants musical at Permian Playhouse. She says this show has been bittersweet, but also fun to work on. Quote, I'm so excited about it, because I grew up with SpongeBob, so this is my dream, end quote, Crowder said. Quote, when I saw the main characters in their costumes, I was like, oh my gosh, that's them. That's the same people I saw on television. I'm so glad that it's this show that I get to end before I begin a new chapter in my life, end quote. This is Crowder's second show that she's worked on at Permian Playhouse. But in high school, she was a part of a number of shows. She lost count of how many plays she's been a part of, whether it's acting or working backstage or both, but she says the number is, quote, more than 15, end quote. The SpongeBob SquarePants musical will open at Permian Playhouse at 7:30 p.m. today. There will be six shows total running through August 7th. The musical is based on the beloved children's show that has aired on Nickelodeon since 1999. Crowder is one of the 45 cast members in the musical, playing the role of SpongeBob's boating instructor, Mrs. Puff. However, Crowder has been busy working on the sets for the show, including painting SpongeBob's signature pineapple house that most people are well familiar with. Quote, I've been doing a lot of background work, end quote, Crowder said. Quote, a lot of my time has been spent working on sets and painting them, because SpongeBob has a very distinct art style. The strokes are very visible. The colors are super saturated, and it's a lot of detailed work that goes into it, which you wouldn't expect from a cartoon, but there's a lot of that in there, end quote. Her mission has been to help the show's set designer, Billy Baker, transform the stage into not just an underwater world, but one that will be instantly recognizable from the show. It's a task that's been easier said than done. Quote, honestly, they were quite difficult because of how much detail actually goes in there. I would say the work for SpongeBob has been about 20 hours alone, end quote, Crowder said. Quote, obviously it's because of Bill Baker who trusts me enough to work on that. I'm very grateful, end quote. When painting the sets, Crowder says it's been a challenge to get the right colors needed for each scene. Quote, I guess when given a project, I don't want anything less coming from me, end quote, Crowder said. Quote, I would constantly mix colors over and over again until everything was right. Once I saw the finished product, I was like, oh my gosh, it looks like it's been printed on there. I would say I'm pretty proud of myself. I'm never really proud of my artwork, but there's a beloved cartoon that I've seen come to life on stage, end quote. Crowder will major in design at Texas. It's no secret that Austin has a thriving arts and culture scene, and that helped sway Crowder to the University of Texas. Quote, Austin is a growing city, end quote, Crowder said. Quote, it's a place where art thrives. When you go there, there are murals everywhere. They have an awesome design program. I was a little bit nervous because it's a big school. But I'm excited to meet new people from different cultures, and that's what I want to surround myself with. If I can surround myself with different people of different cultures and different identities from around the world in my own art, then it will push me to become better that way, end quote. Crowder said she doesn't want to stick to just design. Quote, I'm someone who doesn't want to stick to one thing, end quote, Crowder said. Quote, while I'm there, I want to maybe pick up dance. I don't know, or maybe learn new languages. I've met lots of people who went there and they ended up growing more passions because of the opportunities, end quote. She also hopes to get her master's in design as well. But before she heads off to Austin, she's excited to do one last play in Odessa. Quote, I'm so excited for the show, end quote, Crowder said. Quote, it's a great cast. It's a great team that I work for. I'm excited that they let me into their circle here. I've made a lot of friends here. I hope people come see the show, end quote. Tickets for the show can be purchased at tinyurl.com/YZ768HDE. Soulstrom to headline Hot Summer Nights finale. When it came time to announce the winners of the Battle of the Bands competition earlier this month, Eric Van Kuren and the rest of the members of Soulstrom couldn't believe they had won it. Sure, they took the stage at Ector Theater on July 2nd believing they could win it. But comparing Soulstrom to the other talented bands that were competing that night, Van Kuren knew it was going to be close. Quote, we were pretty excited, end quote, Van Kuren said. Quote, I guess we were just a little bit surprised because of the talent we were sharing the stage with. It was a very exciting moment. All the bands were talented enough and good enough to win. We have a lot of good talent in West Texas, and that's not something to be overlooked, end quote. The Christian rock band consists of Steven Stroop on lead vocals and bass, Weston Jordan on lead guitar, Zeke Stroop on drums, and Van Kuren. As the band's reward for winning the Battle of the Bands, Soulstrom will get a music video made as well as an album cover. They'll also get to close out this year's Hot Summer Nights, as the group will perform today at 7 p.m. at Noel Heritage Plaza. The music video will be courtesy of Young Guns Entertainment. Quote, that'll be something that we can use to help promote our band, and it'll help get our name out and get our music out, end quote, Van Kuren said. The album cover and the music video are still in the works. Van Kuren says the band is currently focusing on this week's Hot Summer Nights finale before turning its attention to the other prizes from Battle of the Bands. Quote, once we're done with that on July 29th, Then we'll focus on recording our main song, and that song will be Soldier. That's the one we'll do the video shoot for. End quote. Soldier has been a song that Solstrom has had for 10 years. It was around the same time that Van Kuren joined the group when the band wrote that song. Quote, there was something special about it being the first song with the new additions to the band, and it has an interesting feel to it, end quote, Van Kuren said. Quote, it has a very rock and roll and slightly metal feel to it, end quote. Bands such as Alter Bridge, Soundgarden have played a part in influencing the song Soldier. Quote, the main thing with the song was not just the sound, but also the meaning and the purpose behind it, end quote, Van Kuren said. Quote, it can be perceived as being a soldier, essentially, but it's about being a soldier for Christ. That's what the whole meaning about the song is, end quote. Solstrom was among the four finalists that received enough online votes to compete at Battle of the Bands. They competed along with Gone by Nin 9, Murder Monroe, and Never Too Young. Solstrom was first formed in 2005 by Steven Stroop and Jordan. Quote, I felt a lot of pride for us because we put in the work for us, end quote, Steven said. Quote, we challenged ourselves like never before. It just made me feel that all that hard work had paid off. It wasn't just a matter of, are we better than these bands, as much as, do we still have what it takes to do this, end quote. Steven Stroop originally came from Galveston, graduating from Ball High School before going to college in Lubbock at Texas Tech. Van Kuren talked about some of the things the judges critiqued the band on after performing. Quote, one of the things the judges said was that they could tell we've been a band for a long time and that we've performed for a while, end quote, Van Kuren said. Quote, they complimented on the rhythm section and the overall composure of our songs. It was good things, they said, that we can take with us. It was a reminder of the hard work that we've put in is so worth it. We want to continue songwriting and to get better, end quote. Van Kuren talked about the band's music-making process. Quote, a lot of times we'll record something and then we'll listen to it and make a few tweaks here and there, end quote, Van Kuren said. Quote, the good thing is everyone in our band adds something to our songs, so it's not just one person doing all the work. We all collaborate very well together. I can say that synergy that we have, and the biggest thing is that it's a God-centered group of men that we have. Not only do we write something that has a rock and roll feel to it, but also something that has a good message to it, end quote. While the band has been around since 2005, there have been a few breaks during the last 17 years. Quote, honestly, it was a great thing for us because we had a few years off because of family things and being busy, end quote, Stroop said. Quote, when you take a few years off, you wonder if it'll come back together or not, but we were able to stay together as a band and try this battle. When we won it, it was affirmation that we were doing what we were gifted and called to do. That was a good thing for us, end quote. His son Zeke is now the drummer for the band. Van Kuren said the group is hopeful to gain some new listeners. Quote, we're super blessed and excited to get to share our music, end quote, Van Kuren said. Quote, we thought this was just the beginning, even though we've been a band for a very long time. We started in 2005. But since then, we've aged as men, but we've gained second-generation Solstrom with Steven Stroop's son, Zeke Stroop, on drums. He brings a new life to some of our old stuff that we have. He brings that youth which is unique with his drum style. He's a metal drummer, but he has several styles and influences with his drumming, which you can hear come through. We're excited to play in front of everybody at Hot Summer Nights, end quote. For more information about Solstrom, go to tinyurl.com/43myh2pe. Art Festival to also highlight Friday's event. Not only will this week's Hot Summer Nights feature a special performance from Solstrom, but it also will feature an art festival. The festival is scheduled to coincide with this week's Hot Summer Nights from 7 to 10 p.m. Friday at the Noel Heritage Plaza. Over 30 local artists are expected to be out with their artwork, as the market will take place on 4th Street between Lee and Sam Houston. The event is a partnership between Odessa Arts, Downtown Odessa, and the Painted Potter, which is owned by Wendy Hernandez. Quote, we think it's going to be a great addition to our Hot Summer Nights, end quote, Executive Director of Downtown Odessa, Casey Hallmark, said. Hallmark said the art festival was supposed to take place earlier this year, but was rescheduled. Quote, Wendy approached us, end quote, Hallmark said. Quote, she had been wanting to do an art market downtown, and we had it originally scheduled for a different day. That date ended up not working out, but I think everything happens for a reason. So I think it worked out perfectly where we can have her out and have all of her vendors out in the street. We have food trucks and a mobile gaming trailer, so we're encouraging people to bring their kids and do some shopping and enjoy the concert, end quote. Hernandez is excited to be able to have this event take place during the final performance of Hot Summer Nights. Quote, Odessa, Arts Executive Director Randy Hamm, thought it would be appropriate to do this particular one because it is showcasing a local band, so what better way to showcase art in many different forms, end quote, Hernandez said. Quote, we'll have the local musicians and the local artists this Friday evening, end quote. The market will feature over 30 different artists in all different mediums. Quote, we have oil, we have acrylic, we have water pastels, end quote, Hernandez said. Quote, we have some glassmakers, we have various different art there. There'll be a lot of hand-drawn art stuff. There'll be digital art and digital media as well, end quote. Hernandez is excited to showcase all the talented artists in the area. Quote, when I put stuff out there for vendors, I would have people send me samples of their artwork, and I was blown away by the talent that we have in the Permian Basin, end quote, Hernandez said. Quote, it's pretty crazy, end quote. The event will also feature food trucks as well. It will be the final Hot Summer Nights for this season as Downtown Odessa and Odessa Arts wraps up a summer that has included 8 shows that began in June. Solstrom was selected to play at this week's Hot Summer Nights as part of its reward for winning the Battle of the Bands competition earlier this month. Quote, we've had a great concert series so far this year, end quote, Hallmark said. Quote, we do the Hot Summer Nights in partnership with the Odessa Arts. Being able to bring in any additional businesses and highlight them is really a huge goal of ours. Being able to partner with the Painted Potter and give people in Odessa a reason to come downtown is always a huge win for us. We look forward to having the public out. It's a really cool show. It's the Battle of the Bands winner and an art show, so it's a win-win, end quote. For more information on the art festival, go to tinyurl.com/MWSWDKPW.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.